and welcome to Zbrojovcast, the English language Zbrojovka podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'm back once again with the ill behaviour.
With the ill behaviour. Hello, Renegade Master.
How are we doing this fine Tuesday evening in very cold Brno now?
Yes.
Winter is coming.
Yeah, and I'm duty bound to call it Brno.
Good.
Now,
because yes.
That's the pun that everyone makes on social media. Time to wheel that one out again.
This is it, yeah. Just, you know, only a week after the heating's turned on.
Yeah.
More football to talk about.
Yes, more football to talk about. A game that really scraped the barrel on the description of what can be called football.
Let's not ruin the suspense for our listeners on this one.
Yeah, so we've got that. That's Brno versus Příbram. We've got a couple of previews because we've got two very big games for two very different regions coming up. We have got your regulars, Beer of the Podcast and Hot or Not, and...
And then I am out of here.
And then we are watching University Challenge.
Yes.
Officially, he's out of here, but actually we're going to watch University Challenge.
Well, I think... Am I incorrect? But have we not got to the curfew? Has it not gone up? No.
I don't know.
11 p.m. We've gone down on dog level as well. We're now dog level 4 as of today,
I don't know what that means.
Well, you know the whole PES... You know the pest system that we have in the Czech Republic now?
No.
You know, the preventive, you know, it's an acronym.
Right, okay, right.
But it's
about
the 5 levels of infectability or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, like level 5, you know, complete lockdown, 4, you know, couple of classes of schools go back. Level 1, everything's like summer again.
Right.
So we're not on purple dog, we're on red dog now.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Red dog. It's a blues musician if ever I heard
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Well, that's something. Anyway, that's what's happening here. We're going to talk about what happened here a few days ago after this thing. Příbram it was.
Indeed.
Yes.
It was, as we build it in the last Brojovcast, a huge match, considering that Příbram haven't won a game and... really have been a very poor side going into Sunday's match. Don't score goals and concede a lot of them. So really it was all on Zbrojovka to really get a result.
So really on social media I put, yeah, watch us draw 1-1.
Zbrojovka Brno 1, Příbram 1. Yeah. What did we think of the game?
I thought it was incredibly poor. It was dreadful. I mean, Příbram offered nothing.
Yes. I was surprised at how bad Příbram were, actually. There was very little urgency for a team that haven't won a match yet. A very ageing side as well. Mm. One that really didn't look that comfortable on the ball. And we had a, you know, after such a good result before the international break, we were going in with not many changes, you know, the stable sort of back four sort of starting to become established.
Yeah.
Hladík deservedly.
Taking his place up top.
And then it was Hladík that really opened the scoring, and I think within the first 10 minutes, 10, 11 minutes or so.
5 minutes. He actually had a shot on 90 seconds, which he scuffed, if you remember. He just couldn't get on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 5 minutes, Morovec crosses from the right, Stepanovski sort of lets it scoot under him, and Hladík's there to bundle it home.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, well, this is going well.
Yeah, like the first quarter of an hour, I thought Zbrojovka were actually fine, sort of driving, keeping possession, getting the ball into Příbram's box. Mm. And I think progress...
Down the left-hand side particularly,
yeah, left-hand
we were very
side
good.
Particularly, yeah. And then just, I think that maybe the story of the game, not to, you know, sort of finish it off already, but that sort of energy just kept dropping and dropping and dropping as the game went on. And a lot of things were happening with Zbrojovka having a lot of the ball, but nothing to really show for it in terms of either actual shots on target or actually fashioning real clear chances on goal.
This is going to, if we're not very careful, this is going to become a story of this season where teams will come to our place and know all they have to do is sit deep,
mm-hmm.
and we're crap at getting through lines.
Yeah,
it's why the second half of last season we had so much joy playing a very sort of counter-attacking style.
Absolutely.
Where we were not using our pace, getting teams on the break, And if people just come to our place and sit, we can't chase. We can't, you know, we have real trouble breaking through them.
Yeah.
As was demonstrated here.
Yeah, five in the midfield for Pribram again is never going to be really, you know, great at, you know, sort of really forcing yourself through. And like we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, so sorry to sound like a broken record, but it's a lot of the times it's decision making that lets the team down. Like keeping, you know, this sort of very nice Arsenal 10 years ago sort of thing where you pass the ball through into the back and then you sort of tap in every single goal is not really, you know, what is going to get us anywhere. So they're trying to do things like that when you should just be having a shot on goal. I thought the Pribram keeper, especially for the first goal, looked quite poor. And then on the other hand, you've then got positions where, oh, it'd be really good to play this, you know, down the flank or, you know, send a ball into the box. And then someone's just winding up and going from 25 yards and it's sailing over. And there's nothing in between that. It's one or the other. And that's not really working.
No. Well, in the first half, very little happened. I think Pribram managed one shot on goal in the whole first half.
Mm-hmm.
We went in at halftime 1-0 to the good. It didn't look like we were really going to be troubled. Second half, again, very little happened. Floda has to be alive to a Stander Vavra free kick from the left-hand side, which kind of...
didn't do much. It looked like the sort of set piece from a team that...
Yeah, you know, it kind of came in, I think, a lot more shallow than he thought, and he had to be alive to kind of beat it away, but that was sort of it. I think there was more through luck than judgment. Up the other end, Kotola went quite close from the edge of the area. He had a pop from about 20 yards and it sailed just wide of the far post. Yeah, and it looked like we were going to see it out until 76 minutes when Stander Vavra is, inverted commas, fouled in the box.
Mm-hmm. Chermak, who is the offending Zbrojovka player, allegedly.
Mm. Yeah. Is it a foul?
Can I come back to that?
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously we're coming at this from a Zbrojovka point of view, but the more you look at it, I don't think he actually really makes contact, and Vavra hurls himself to the ground.
Mm. He does that sort of half pirouette thing.
Yeah. Either way, whatever happens, it becomes 1-1 as former Zbrojovac Tomáš Pilík steps up and sends Floda the wrong way.
Yeah.
1-1 it is. 4 minutes later, Adrian Čermák is stopped by a crunch to the torso as he's running into the box.
Yeah, by Soldat, I believe.
And is taken down, is blocked, is, you know, impeded, mm-hmm. however you want to put it. Ref blows for a penalty immediately, goes to VAR, brings it back, don't even get a free kick.
Mm-hmm.
It is a penalty.
Yeah, well, my judgment on this is that if that's a penalty, then that is as well. That's my thoughts on it. Because I can see why potentially, in the light of day, after numerous replays, why it's a penalty to Pribram, in the sense that Čermák does get a little bit on him, sort of like clips his heels.
Yeah.
I think this is a very similar situation as well, because it is just, I think it's also actually, it's not just the torso thing. I think there is actually a little clip on the back of Čermák on the other way going down as well. The debate that we had in here was not whether or not it was a foul, but if it was actually in the box.
It is.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
It is, yeah.
I've looked at it a few times.
I absolutely think it is. Like, I mean, obviously, you would like to think bias doesn't come into play, and I genuinely don't think bias comes
bias
into play here.
Bias absolutely goes into play when it comes to me, yes.
No, but like, I've tried to watch it objectively. In fact, I have, like, mm-hmm. you know, a few times. And he's inside the area when he gets clunked.
Mm-hmm.
And even if he's clipped outside the area and falls in the area, which he doesn't, by the way, why is that not a foul then? Why do we not even get a foul, you know, free kick outside the box?
That was a confusing thing to me. There was a little bit of a debate about whether or not VAR has the power to sort of call it as a call it as a foul if it's not a penalty, but just whether or not it's a penalty or not. And I don't think there's any basis in reality for that, as some people were claiming. Anyone who's better versed on the rules of the game regarding that, then please get in touch. But if it's in the box, then it's no worse than what happened down the other end of the pitch. It's funny that it's Adrian Čermák right in the middle of it twice.
Mm.
But I think that should be a penalty. And it does...
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, I was going to say it robs us of 3 points. But I think also that one thing that we just really need to keep drilling home is that we have to start creating more chances, especially against poor teams in the league.
Yeah.
So don't want that to cover it up.
Yeah, that game should have been dead and buried way before that.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, like this, yeah, as you said, it's not, in a way, it is 2 points dropped, but also, did that performance merit 3 points?
Yeah,
That's up for debate as well.
I also don't want to be blatant. Well, no, fuck it. This is Borovka Brno podcast. I can be as sort of subjective as you like. And I'm not actually going to maybe go to the far logical step as maybe I was on Sunday in the heat of the moment, talking about, various, sort of backhanders and things like that. But Orel, the referee for the game, it was absolutely fucking disgraceful. Even if you take away the two penalty instances, like, there was the feeling that I got anyway, that every single time that a Příbram player went to ground, it was a foul.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we ended up with 4 or 5 cards in the whole game, I think to Příbram's 2. One of them was the keeper for time wasting at the end for the point. But like I thought it was just sort of nonsensical. There was an incident at the end of the match, just, sort of 94 minutes or whatever, where I believe is it Prihistal? Who sort of goes down under pressure, and it's whistled for a free kick the other way, which gave me flashbacks to the I think it was the Rusek incident in the second game of the playoff, where he is blatantly fouled, and it goes the other way because
Příbram.
Yes, well, I mean, it's now not even disputed that that game was set up.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that corruption has a lot to do with it or not, but I thought that was very funny about how that refereeing performance was, and to the point that it is, if it is sort of still corrupt, it is kind of a bit sophisticated, because you'll never have that happen if Příbram play Slavia or Sparta, because they're supposed to lose, and these are bigger clubs with bigger fan bases that will, all hell would break loose, and a lot of hell has broken loose with the refereeing association as it is. But when it's a team like Zbrojovka, like, no one seems to give a shit if the bad things go our way.
Yeah. Can I just give a shout out to, they must be so spending so much money on bribes they can't afford a decent away kit.
Oh, that kit.
They absolutely borrowed that from the lost property box. Yeah.
It's such a shame, because it's a nice keeper's jersey. It gives me sort of Lev Yashin sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Just, grey, black even. Deary me, black, sort of little white shite around the sides and a badge. Decent.
Yeah.
But
shame about the goalkeeper wearing it, really.
Of course. just a very disappointing... It was one of those ones that felt like a loss, even though it is a point.
Yeah, exactly. Out of the bottom three, though.
We were at the bottom three for about 4 hours.
Yeah.
Until full-time at Letna, which we'll go on to later on, actually.
Yeah.
Because I'll be talking about the some of our opposition.
Yeah.
I'm having real trouble speaking tonight. Sorry.
Well, actually, do you want to do that next?
No.
Okay.
Because that's in a fortnight, and there's a different game before that one.
Who have we got before?
We've got Slavia first.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah,
Slavia first, and then in a fortnight we've got Dinamo Česká Budějovice.
That's what I meant, yeah.
I would love it if it was the other way around.
Do you want to do Slavia next?
Yes, I can do Slavia.
Yeah, let's do that. All right. We're going to talk about the next game, which is against Slavia Prague next. So it's those Prague Sophisticates.
Yes, West Ham United next week.
Yeah.
Let's get this one out of the way. Slavia Prague next weekend.
They're good.
They are good, and we're not going to take anything from this game. not to, to spoil it now.
We can't play in Prague, by the way. Just like historically,
generally,
we
crap in Prague.
We are shit in Prague.
I mean, yeah, not just Sparta Slavia.
Like any game in generally Prague, generally terrible. We're dreadful.
I'm trying to actually. I'm racking my brains. Like
bowled over by the big city lights.
Like conservative estimate, we have probably gone to 20 matches in Prague together over the last couple of years.
Yeah, let's say.
I can only really remember us winning once when we've been there, and that was against Dukla.
Yeah.
But 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
4 years ago, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah,
Never.
It was the mighty comeback from half time.
Yeah,
yeah. I genuinely think that's it against Bohemka, Sparta, Slavia, even Žižkov.
Yeah,
we shit the bed every Žižkov. Time.
The only one that I can think of otherwise is we pumped Slavoj Vyšehrad.
But no one was there.
They're unbeaten this season. Not Slavoj Vyšehrad, but Slavia. 4 points clear. I'm just going to put this out here because I know that a lot of people know about Slavia, so I don't really want to bore people with all these details. But okay, so talking of like, let's say a good standard of player, international, Ondra Kolář, Jan Bořil, Ondra Kudela, Tomáš Holeš, David Havorka, Lukáš Masopust, keep going. Petr Ševčík, Lukáš Provod, let's not forget Nikolai Stanciu, who's got 40-odd caps for Romania. It's just a fucking stacked team, and it's a team currently leading a Europa League group.
Yeah.
A team that has only conceded twice this season in the league, and one of them was a penalty.
Yeah.
Okay. Have beaten both Budějovice and Opava 6-0 mm-hmm. so far. It doesn't look like they really need Soček so far. Maybe in Europe, where they went out in the Champions League qualifying stage.
Yeah.
Oh, they're saying that they did have Sofal still at that point, but really doesn't seem to affect them league-wise. I think I said at the start of the season I fancied Sparta this year.
Are you changing your mind?
Might do, yeah. It's just bulldozing. And, you know, I think they had a draw with Pardubice. So they're only black mark so far. Freewheeling part of it.
Horses.
Right, I'm gonna have to get like a Neil Young and Crazy Horse sort of pun for the next time we talk about them. But I don't really. I would like to just get out of this one unscathed. No one suspended, please.
Yeah.
Let's keep it semi respectable.
3-0 is fine.
Feel fine, and anything other than that, and I will just be bowled over and post a lot of UEFA do Brna memes, and that'll be it. And it'll probably be on the telly. I'm not sure. I didn't check. Hopefully,
more than 65 minutes of it.
Well, hopefully, a certain TV station isn't going to change it.
Yeah, thanks O2 for cutting that off.
Did you see that they actually sent me an explanation for that the day after?
Really?
They tweeted at me twice.
Really?
Because I tweeted them going, excuse me, what the fuck is going on, sir? And then they were like, oh yeah, we changed it to this other channel. It's like, if you'd been watching it through this service, you would have known. It's like, fuck off. Like,
did you not say we're watching it through OTTV, your service? Anyway.
One of them called themselves an O2 guru. I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean that's all really I have on Slavia. People who listen to this probably know a lot more about the team and see them a lot more than we do. We're just going to get battered.
Yeah. By the way, you know you were saying Alex Kral seems to have vanished off the face of the earth since he moved to Russia.
This is the news that West Ham are in for him, right?
Really? Is that true?
I mean, apparently there's a rumour going around that that West Ham now want Alex Kral, despite only being less than a year into Sparta.
No, I was just thinking he got a little bit of social media love this week for like nutmegging a Dinamo player or something.
Oh, good.
So that was nice. There was a gif.
Yeah. No, I saw something that there's apparently rumours that West Ham are in for him, and this does nothing for my annoyance at Slavia Prague social media.
Tell everyone about what you sent me today, the screenshot.
Okay, I found an old screenshot of a Slavia Prague bio update. It doesn't have it right now. This is the Slavia Prague English account. I follow them both. There's definitely a different team. team of social media people that handle the English and Czech services, mm-hmm. As maybe is natural, because Slavia Vyacheslavina tweets mostly about Slavia Prague and every so often about the two former players in London. But the one that does the English service tweets about them fucking constantly. And up until, I think this is from the 20th of October.
Right.
The Slavia Prague English, the bio of the Twitter account was, just says, just training, watching West Ham and waiting for Europa League. Ellipsis. Not going to pump you. Bring Davy Moyes to Aden, that's what I say.
Yeah. If Alan Pardew can join CSKA Moscow, bring David Moyes to Aden.
That was very close to being in the hot or not, I must say. I thought that was going to be one of your hots, actually.
I've got plenty.
That's an insane story, though, isn't it?
Yes. Do you know he is still like, he will still be referred to as a good young English manager. He's 59.
That's mad. You see that they might have to cancel the Bulgarian league for 4 months.
Yes.
That was announced like 6 hours after. Like, I very much like...
Hashtag Pardew out.
I very much like how they refer to him on the CSKA website as Mr. Alan Pardew.
Yeah.
Which I'm very into.
Yeah. They...
Hello, Mr.
Well, they didn't spell his name Ala Anna. It was A... and to like soften the vowel.
Oh, is it?
Sign. Yeah, they,
I thought it had a. I thought it was. I thought it was a softening sign at the end.
No,
Alan.
They actually spelled it Alan, like it would make that sort of sort of schwa noise. It was at le.
Yeah.
Soften sign N.
This is
very strange.
Probably got something to do a lot more with Bulgarian than the Cyrillic to make it sound a bit more like it is.
Anyway, that was Slavia.
No cases in Bulgarian, of course.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that would have made it easier for him to move, I suppose.
Yeah.
Or more difficult. I'm not sure. Anyway, that's Slavia and Alan Pardew chat. Shall we beer of the podcast?
Yes, let's beer of the podcast.
Hooray! It's the beer of the podcast.
It's a drum machine thing going on.
That's all I've got.
It's beer of the podcast. It's beer of the podcast.
It certainly is. And you said you wanted to do something a bit different.
Well, just a little bit different because, of course, the availability of beers from around the Republic has been hampered a little bit by a lot of shops being shut still.
Yes.
That shouldn't last any longer than a few weeks, we hope. So obviously we've had to change to stuff that's available in the supermarket or stuff that is actually available locally. So last...
Or people like... pouring lager into an envelope and posting it to us.
Yes.
It's, I mean, it works, but it's a terrible mess. Go see the letterbox bursts on the floor, so it's terrible.
Like a beer version of The Gift by the Velvet Underground. yes, so we had Pivet last time, which is local hostelry. And this is a hit.
A hit.
So this is a good beer that we have both commented has been a good beer before, and this is a local beer from a local place in Brno. So I wanted to just drink the beer and then see if you can name where it's from.
Right, so this is a beer we've had not in podcast context.
No, this is a beer somewhere... that we have had many times in a social context, and I just want to see if you can place it.
All right, okay.
Just as a wee
experiment. I'm going to fail at this miserably,
but we'll see.
We'll give it a go anyway.
But it is a local.
So this is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a 12 degree lager of the Lajac style.
Of the Lajac style, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that it is an in-house.
An in-house, all right, okay. So... Okay. Is it a Zastavka?
It is not a Zastavka.
Is it not a Zastavka? Okay.
Can I give you one more guess?
Yeah, hold on. You're going to have to fill some dead air while I'm
Yeah, I mean,
this.
It's a very crisp, very drinkable lager, a bit of bite to it. It is a beer which the pub makes on site, or locally at least, and is tanked up at the bar.
Yeah, no, this is not making good broadcasting, yeah, because I'm just having to sit here and slowly drink and think.
I thought you might have...
Do the old drinking thing.
Yeah, well, I thought you might have had a clue, because this is a place that we go quite often, and is a place that you generally rave about as well as a
is it Utomana?
It is Utomana's Dvanat.
Yeah, delicious.
Which was freshly bottled for me this afternoon.
Lovely.
Very nice lager, and you can get a litre and a half right now from their pub for 135 crowns.
So they just have a window?
They just have a table in front of the door,
and
you can ask for a bottle and they will pour it up for you.
Lovely. Yeah, no, I'm a big fan. Like, I was sitting here drinking this and going, that's lovely. Yes, I agree that it is lovely.
It's hard when it's just like a lager on a 12, mm-hmm. because we're not really spoiled for choice. Well, we are spoiled for choice, I should say, in Brno, for places that do good local beer.
Yeah, actually, now there's a slight sense memory, because it's slightly floral smelling, which is a very... Yeah, there's a slight sense memory.
To my knowledge, you can't get this beer anywhere other than there.
No, so. I don't think so. It is lovely. It's one of my absolute favourites in the whole city. So good. Nice. Thanks for bringing that.
Well, we've got a litre and a half of it to get through.
Oh, mummy, daddy. Yes. A litre and a half to get through while we do... What have we got next? Hot or nots? Let's do hot or nots,
okay.
Because your Chebe thing, you said, was a bit longer than the Slavia.
Yes, it is.
One.
I'd say it is. Because I thought it deserved a little bit more discussion, because it's the one that I think we could potentially get points out of.
Right. Okay, let's do hot or not now then, and then we'll talk about Chebe towards the end. What's happening? It's a lot. So tell me about what you got. Oh, Sam, is it hot or is it not? Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-ba-na-bum-bum.
No idea.
That's Ain't That a Kick in the Head by Bing Crosby.
Well...
I didn't think you'd get that. I wasn't. Yeah. Oh,
no.
Okay.
I don't know much from that era.
The sort of, you know, Brat Pack. Yeah.
Old
the
Dean
50s.
Martin roasts,
yeah.
And all this stuff. No.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, good orchestral music and, you know, more than casual sexism. So that's something, isn't it? You know, random misogyny. Brilliant.
I sound
great.
Into it, man.
Yeah. Anyway, what have you got?
I've got a hot and a not.
I have a hot and a not and a bonus hot that
bonus,
I forgot to do last time.
Bonus
so I'm
hot.
Throwing
good,
it in, yeah.
Good.
Right, I'm going to start with my... Actually, weirdly, mine are both Bundesliga related.
Okay.
My hot is St. Pauli moving into making their own shirts from next year.
Ooh.
The reason is because they said no potential partners could meet the standards they're looking for in terms of sustainability, financial transparency and fair trade. So they're setting up their own manufacturing division and scheme with the hope of expanding to other clubs that want to go the same way in terms of sustainability and fair trade sourcing and things like that.
That's great.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They might also, you know, have to watch out, because I believe they're in the relegation spot in the Zweibundesliga now.
Yeah,
so.
But, you know, this is their part of their long-term strategy.
I feel everything around St. Pauli is a sort of a long-term strategy. But, well, I mean, aside from the years that looked like they were going to go bust every week.
Yeah.
But that's a good one. It would be, in an ideal world, you'd think more clubs or most clubs would do it.
Coventry briefly made our own kits. We had a company called Kit At, which apparently was doing our own stuff, which was under.
Is that like one of these, like, that is Kit At? Well, that's giving me very off-brand chocolate bar in Aldi vibes, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a break. Have a Kit At.
Yeah. It very much was that. It was that, and Sky Blue Leisure was the
Sky Blue Leisure is yes, that
that's
is
a, that's a holiday park in Devon for a start.
Mexico, yeah,
yeah. So that's
it's a company that manufactures the wheels on roller skates, not on roller blades, on roller skates. A staff of four.
Yeah. So that's my hot. Good. Have you got something
for a hot?
Sure.
This will not surprise you, David. My hot is, again, Scotland.
Yes, good, all right.
Specifically, Scotland's way to defy the odds and still let it be known that it's fucking Scotland as well. So for the first time in practically my living memory, we have qualified for a major international tournament, which is all very good, and I've bored everyone to death talking about it, so I won't. But we did this then, and we decided after that that, you know, everything else must be too easy. So we decided to absolutely fuck ourselves in the Nations League by taking a 4-point lead and then just losing our last two matches, thus potentially fucking us ever getting into a World Cup.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Beautiful.
It's yet another reason to hate Israel.
I am so done with playing Israel. We've played Israel 5 times in 2 years. And I'm sick of it. And who's in pot three and who could we potentially get? Israel. And if it is, like, I don't care who we get in the qualifying groups. I don't care. If it's the hardest group, if it's a group of death, just don't make me play fucking Israel ever again. And we're shite against them. We're so bad against Israel. It's unreal.
Yeah. There you go.
Pleased.
Yes. Scotland, good stuff.
You
haven't really, have you?
More upbeat this month now.
You got your 78 replica shirt in the post.
Mm-hmm.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah. Everything's coming up Millhouse.
Yeah.
Give me a knot, take me back down to earth.
I've got, another Bundesliga thing. My knot is Schalke.
Oh, Schalke, just bad.
Yeah, my team in Germany, one of the first live football games I ever saw when I went to Germany on the college exchange trip thing. Schalke, bottom of the Bundesliga, 3 points.
Haven't won a match yet.
No wins in 24.
They're coming
stretching
up to...
back to...
That must be over a calendar year.
Yeah, but I think the last time they won was... like October last year or something, because of the break and everything, the enforced break. That's not necessarily the reason I'm putting them in the knots yet. Actually, there was a short column by, Andy Brassel in The Guardian does his Bundesliga roundup, and one of his talking points was, should we start talking about Schalke as relegation candidates? Yes. Absolutely, we bloody
start
should.
They're
absolutely dreadful. Mark Uth, their striker, gave a remarkable interview after their latest 2-0 loss where he was on Sky Germany, and he just said, we're a really very bad football team. We defend very badly. We can't go forward very well. We're very bad up front. We're just a very, very bad football team. And I think when I get into the dressing room, I might cry. Like, he was just absolutely at the end of his tether. Like, it was...
That's mad.
Amazing. Now, the thing I want to bring up, though, is because the Bundesliga record for no wins in a row is 31.
They don't have it yet.
No, which Schalke are creeping up on. It's 31. And it was set by Tasmania Berlin.
Oh, yes.
In the 1965-66 season. The Tasmania Berlin, because they still exist, Tasmania Berlin, and their chairman, Almir Numic, was asked about this after Schalke's latest capitulation, and he said, quote, I wouldn't want Schalke to crack it. This has been our record for decades. It's part of the Tasmania identity.
Well, they are. I mean, they were a team that were reasonably big in the 60s, and I think they're now down in like the fifth or sixth tier.
Yeah, I
like
know,
not terrible. Well, actually, not terrible by a Berlin football standard, actually, because they have a lot of those sorts of, like Tennis Borussia play there as well, you know, in these sort of, and have been a mainstay of those sort of lower leagues and have quite loyal followings.
Anyway, so Schalke 04, absolutely, just the absolute dregs of the Bundesliga.
Or, you know, Schalke nil, comma, fear.
You have a knots then.
My knots, Fulham players taking penalties. Yet again, a Fulham player has missed a penalty in a game. And this means that I believe they are... they've had four penalties this season. They scored one. Which belies a far greater statistic, which I think I told you on Sunday.
This stat has been wheeled out on a lot of things. I think Totally Football had it on Match of the Day. It's unbelievable.
It's incredible that since the start of season 2016-17, they have a 48% conversion rate.
Yeah.
Taken 31, scored 15. Now, I am sure that there is, and that's in all competitions, by the way, it doesn't include shootouts. I am sure there must be a team out there that's worse. If anyone can let me know, because I'd be really interested to know if you can find one with a worse statistic than that, because that's dreadful.
At the knowledge.
Yeah, well, something like that. Yeah. Be the knowledge for me, listener. I'm lazy. I don't want to Google. I want you to tell me, and that's how we build long-lasting and meaningful connections.
That's right, yeah.
Bonus.
Yes, a bonus hop that I was going to do last week and I forgot about. You will be aware of this, I think, because I think you liked it as well. There was a tweet going around about a week or so called Random Encounters with Footballers, the More Mundane, the Better.
Yes.
And there was a huge thread of people just with selfies with baffled-looking footballers in absolute, like, no-mark situations.
Did you put one? Because I put one on that thread.
I didn't, because I don't really think I have one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really. Yeah. However, these were some of my favourites.
Oh, great.
Highlights for me included, and these all had photo evidence as well, Edgar Davids buying pastries in Johannesburg. Nigel Martin in an antique shop. Marcus Rojo buying an armload of socks in Primark. Emil Heskey queuing for the Simpsons ride at Universal Studios.
That feels on brand to me.
Gordon Strachan looking lost in a car park.
That is very on brand.
My favourite of blandest one you could think of like really middle-ranking player in really middle-ranking situation. Lorik Chaner in Pizza Hut.
That's great.
It's when he was at Sunderland, and I think that's great. That's
very similar to my one that I put up.
Yours was?
Mine was meeting European Cup Winners' Cup captain Willie Miller in a Chiquito's Mexican restaurant.
Nice. My favourite player-to-place combination, this is a belter.
Go on.
Carlos Valderrama at the South African Apartheid Museum. So I thought it was lovely.
Listener, admit it. You were also thinking it was going to be some sort of van place as well, weren't you, for a minute? Yeah. Is it Valderrama in Vanorama?
Is it Rio on Rio? But my absolute, probably my favourite on this entire thread was summed up in four words. Rivaldo, Dixon's, Gatwick Airport.
Fucking hell.
Which I loved. I thought that was great.
I just like how just like most things associated with Britain are mundane as fuck as well. Like it's always somebody getting, you know, met in a Curry's or whatever, you know. Or, when I was in my local store trying to get 10 pence off Lenore.
All at once I bumped into this guy and looking who it was, I gave a cry. Fucking hell, it's Rivaldo in Dixon's Gatwick Airport. So yeah, that was hot.
Where in the world? PC world.
Right, so that was hot or not. There we go.
Good bonus.
Yeah, thank you. Shall we talk about those beery chaps?
Oh, if we have to.
I think we do. We'll be right back. Right, Viva Las Chebes.
Yes, yes. Dinamo Ceske Budivice, who we are playing in...
Dinamo Chernobyle Dress.
I'd almost forgotten about that song.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was fun.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the Bradford-based magician Dynamo, Dinamo Ceska Budivica's return to top flight football was pretty successful last season.
It bloody was, wasn't it?
Seventh. Top of their, you know, that middle group that gets into Europe sometimes. Yeah. And they sort of petered out after that. This season started badly.
It's Sheffield United syndrome, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first match back, they had six put past them by Slavia, which we alluded to earlier. And then, you know, winless, and then decided to play football this weekend and beat Sparta Prague, which I'll sort of go on to. So really, I'm sorry, David. What started as a South Bohemian crapsody...
Oh, jeez.
Ended with them wanting to break free from the relegation zone, now leaving Zbrojovka Brno under pressure. So, yeah, they beat Sparta Prague at the weekend, which no one saw coming.
A Bohemian Crapsody.
South Bohemian Crapsody. Yes. I'll be honest, most of my...
It's like James Richardson's really here.
This is
really,
it, right? Yeah.
Really remarkable stuff.
Da-dun, da-dun.
Unbelievable this.
Yes. An unbelievable... I wouldn't call it unbelievable, but incredibly entertaining game against Sparta Prague. Really good game. Loads of chances at each end. And that... I basically did that as the prep for this rather than actually look up shit.
Yeah.
Basically. You know, I was really, you know, sort of impressed by a lot of them throughout the squad. Mick Van Buren, who they got from Slavia on loan, looks just, you know, great for them for this season. He was frozen.
The former
out.
President and an abolitionist.
Yes. Yeah, so he was sort of frozen out of Slavia by basically them having better players in that position, Stanciu, for example. Yeah. So he's gone in. So he looks really good. Pavel Schultz, who's another really good loan, who's 19, I think, from Victoria Pilsen. It's fantastic. Yaroslav Drobny made some unbelievable saves.
Is he still going?
For a man 41 years old.
I was
going
to say, he must be ancient.
41 years old between the nets on Sunday.
Lovely.
Crazy. 43-1 setup. That's an attacking setup. You know, they're looking to score goals, especially because of their the start of the season, which included such highlights as a 0-0 draw with Opava, which was not a classic. And they did have little their other point was 2-2 with Mlada Boleslav, who again don't really look like they're up to much this season either. And yeah, to just to put a marker down on it, this is the first Dinamo win at Letna since 1993.
Crikey.
So it was good. And they look decent. They're passing the ball around a lot. That will give them a lot of confidence.
They were a good footballing side in the second league, though.
Oh, they were great.
It's what they do. They're a decent, you know, they're a football playing side.
I mean, we went 2-0 up against them away and they battered us.
Yeah.
If you remember that game, which we were incredibly angry about, and thankfully we're in another town and had to get back to Brno, and by then it was hard to keep up those emotions.
Levels of rage.
Since, yeah. I must say, I am extremely miffed. I'm just quickly on my phone, sort of, because I forget about who they've actually got before that. I know that they're playing Bohemians midweek. Because they've got a game, in hand. So I think they're playing Bohemians this Wednesday or the next Wednesday. And who they've also got is just go to fixtures. This is great, podcast stuff on the air. Yes, they're playing Bohemka tomorrow, and then they've got Pilsen at the weekend.
Right.
So after that, then hopefully that's coming off a loss or something, and
that
then
is,
we get to play
that's
them.
The Pints Derby, by the way.
The Pints Derby, that's a good one, yes. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and Pilsen versus Ceska Budějovice.
Yeah, so they are, you know, they're hopefully not turning a corner. Hopefully that's just a one-off thing.
El Glasico.
Yeah, they, I mean... they.
That's what I'm calling it.
Wow. Yeah, but they almost doubled their goals tally at the weekend because they now have 9 goals. We have 7 for those keeping tally about these things. We need to score, and their defence, I think, still looks a wee bit iffy.
Mm.
What would you like to see happen?
We are at home, of course.
We are at home.
Are we not? Yes. I would like to see us... It's slightly counterintuitive at home, but I would like to see us play a little bit more counterattacking. I'd like us to see to do a bit more what we did against Yablonets. I'd like us to, you know, bring them on to us and try and hit them on the break, because I think we need to start mixing it up a little bit. We need to start doing things that we hadn't done before, or things that we were doing at the end of last season. We need to be, you know, sitting a little bit deeper, playing into space for the for the quicker guys on the wings and the fullbacks to get onto.
That's a good point. We didn't actually mention this in the when we were talking about the game, but what really does spring to mind actually with the performance is we were really missing Reiter to add that sort of bit of trickery and bit of pace, bit of
dynamism,
into the game. And so hopefully he'll come back, and then I would probably.
We're slowly, now we fix the kind of defensive crisis, we're slowly reintroducing midfielders and forwards that we didn't have before, because Vaniak coming back, Rusek back after suspension, Reiter hopefully back after his little tweak.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see if there's anything for Uncle Vanya to offer.
Mm.
I would be, if he is fit, I would like to see Reiter start. I would probably, I'm just discounting the Slavia game. Anything can happen regarding the team, you know, unless we win. I don't really care. But maybe it's worth starting with Rusek, Przyhistal getting Hladik back into sort of that sort of attacking midfield role. Unfortunately, I wasn't convinced at all by Adam Fosek on Sunday. And usually he's quite good in games like that. They're a bit gritty, but...
He had a couple of forays down the left in the first 20 minutes and then he went missing.
Yeah. So maybe try and switch that up again. But
maybe, yeah.
Lots to talk about between now and then. I mean, that is still a fortnight away. So.
It is, yeah.
I think mentally, for my own sanity, is I'll watch this Zbrojovka game, but I'm not going to enjoy it in Prague. So
I might not like it, but I'll have to go along with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Shenton goals. It's going to be bad.
Yeah.
We're not going to lose 6-0. Or are we?
Yeah, you say that now.
That's enough of this.
Yeah.
Let's leave them.
Yeah, I think that's about us for this one, isn't it?
Thank God.
It's fairly quick and we're out. If you're still enjoying this nonsense, share us, tell your friends, follow us on all the usual channels. Get in touch if you do know a worse penalty percentages than Fulham.
Please.
Penalties?
Please.
And we're going to play you out with a little bit of Bing. That's I don't know why I sounded like I was on Radio Top Shop for a minute there, but ladies. So, yeah.
Could that impression be any more bad? Bye.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning, I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just a beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head? Said, ain't that a kick in the head? this sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning, I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. She's telling me we'll be wed. She's picked out a king-size bed. I couldn't feel any better, or I'd be sick. Tell me quick, boy, ain't love a kick.